G'day Cubs fans from all around the world. This is Dallas from Sydney, Australia, and this episode is brought to you by proud Patreon supporters just like me. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the best marginal analysis and some cracking internet muscle flexes. This is the Ivy Envy Podcast. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 404th episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. The Cubs have been on quite a roll for the last 2 weeks. On this episode, we're going to look at these 2 weeks and share what has stood out to us during the stretch. We're also going to look at the middle and the back end of the Cubs rotation and talk about how impressive they've been this year and try to determine what it is that has made them so good, I guess. It appears that Anthony Rizzo is out of his funk, and looking at the offense, we'll talk about his performance over the last week or so. And while we're talking about the offense, we will look at where the Cubs are getting unexpected power from this season. Throw in a scary stat of the week, internet muscle flexes, and we have a full show for you. So let's get started. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me right here in the studio.
I'm so glad to be with you here today, Corey. It's Andy.
And joining us through the magic of the internet is our other co-host.
Hey, it's Kurt.
Sorry you couldn't come hang out with us today, Kurt.
I never got the invite, so you know, I didn't really know.
Well,
one of those.
To be fair, my wife and I kind of invited ourselves over.
So that's the way to do it.
Actually, Kurt, we didn't tell you this, but you know, we had a pretty important Ivy Envy meeting out here. A lot of tough decisions were made.
you're gonna lay off 33 1/3% of the staff.
Andy, I'm sorry, but I've got to let you go.
I thought it would be better to do it in person.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty excited when Tawny told me that you guys were coming out today. And I mean, I knew it would be fun to watch the Cubs and hang out on the lake with you. So that was fun. Although it would have, you know, if the game would have turned out differently, it maybe would have been better.
Yeah, the game was kind of a bummer, but that's all right. It was a beautiful day. We listened to the Cubs game as we floated on the lake.
Yep. Did some fishing, some swimming. Yep. It was fun. But you know, it's kind of funny that we're on this topic because I was just thinking recently, yesterday, in fact, about how much like Ivy Envy has kind of improved my life with friendships. I mean, Andy, I think you and I would be friends outside of, you know, what if Ivy Envy didn't exist, we would still be friends. I think
let's pump the brakes a little bit. no, of course.
And I mean, but Kurt, I met you outside of Ivy Envy, but I'm not sure our friendship would have gone anywhere without Ivy Envy. I don't know if we would talk.
Perhaps not. Perhaps the moving to different states would have been a hamper. But yeah, it certainly has kept us in touch regularly.
Would you have stayed in his top seven on MySpace?
Probably not. But I mean, just in the last few weeks, like pretty much everybody that I have hung out with, it's because of Ivy Envy. Michael and Delana came over last weekend. You know, Michael was an Ivy Envy listener, and I met him when we moved down to this area. Tad from the Peoria area came over with his wife and kids last weekend. Again, a listener that I got to know through Ivy Envy. Yesterday, I ran into Tony from Alexis at a 5K. And I don't know. I don't mean to sound sappy, but like the older you get, the kind of harder it is to make friends, especially when you have kids, I think. So yeah. I don't know. Ivy Envy saved the day for me. Now I have friends.
Otherwise, you'd be this like grumpy, like hermit that's a total misanthrope.
Right. I'm just going to talk to my chickens
and form plans in my head.
Start listening to political talk radio. And
there's old man Finneran. He's plotting and scheming out on his property.
Looks like your mic's a little droopy over there, Andy.
It is. It keeps sagging.
What's going on with that?
It's unable to maintain performance.
So speaking of friendships and meeting people, if you're in the Ohio or Kentucky area, I think I might be going to the final two games of the Cubs-Reds series in Cincinnati later this month. We haven't decided on anything for sure, but we're considering it. I know we have listeners in the area, so if you're thinking about going to those games, I know Danny Rocket from the Sun Ranto podcast will be there too. His band is playing after one of the shows. So, you know, if you're going to be there, get a hold of me. Let's hang out if we decide to go. So if you've listened to our last few episodes, you know that IVMV is a finalist in a couple different podcast awards, one of which the winner is determined by voting. And we would love it if you take a few minutes every day between now and June 12th to vote for IVMV in the sports category of the podcast awards. And while you're listening right now on your phone or on your computer, go to podcastawards.com. In the sports category, click on IVMV. You fill out the bottom of the page with your contact information and stuff. And then after you submit your vote, then you should get a verification in your email. And you have to click the link in your email for your vote to count. So don't forget to do that. So again, go to podcastawards.com between now and June 12th to vote for IVMV.
And be sure to check your junk folder for that verification email just in case it gets sent there.
Mine shows up in my Gmail promotions tab or whatever. So yeah, it can show up in different areas. So yeah, spam folder, junk folder, whatever. So it was maybe three or four episodes ago. We were talking about the Cubs being in a bit of a funk. They were playing under 500 baseball for a 2-week stretch, maybe 10 days. And on our last episode, it seemed like the Cubs were maybe kind of breaking out of it. That was in the middle of the Dodgers series. The Cubs won the last game of that 4-game series. So they took that series 3-1. And then the Diamondbacks came to Chicago and the Cubs won 2 out of 3 of that series. So it seems like the team is rolling again. I guess going back to the series against the Cardinals almost 2 weeks ago, the Cubs are 10-3. So I'll take that all season long.
Heck yeah.
10-3.
Yeah. Acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. Not for all Cubs fans.
No, expectations have gone through the roof for some people.
Yeah. So let's look at that stretch of games, and I think that it kind of makes sense to start with the pitching because, man, the pitching has been good.
It's been pretty dope. That's street slang. I speak street slang. Last 14, the pitching's been solid. I mean, as a team, they have a 2.17 ERA. Opposing batting average, 187.
Whoa. You're going to win some games.
Yeah. And a 0.892 whip.
Wow.
That is sick.
Is that a sick street slang too?
Yeah, that is sick. That's one of those words I've picked up recently. That's a really fresh one, so you may not have heard that one yet, but that's really sick. That and that whip. I mean, that is the illest whip I've really ever seen. Yeah, the starting pitching has been great. I'm sure everybody's seen that graphic that's been floating around on Facebook and Twitter of all five of the Cubs starters with fire emojis, you know, all being under 3.
Right.
And we've had a couple rough performances in that stretch, but even with today's kind of Arrieta's had two out of three last games have been kind of uncharacteristic for him. All the Cubs starters are still under 3, including Arrieta's at 1.80. So they're all pitching well. Particularly good in the past few starts is Kyle Hendricks. Dude had a complete game and then an 8-inning start last time. Lester, of course, had a complete game recently. Just as a whole, I mean, these guys have been sharp. A couple names in the bullpen that stand out. Rondon has a 0.00 ERA in that 10-3 stretch, 3 saves. So he's been solid. It seems like maybe he's going to start to get a few more save opportunities. Maybe we were kind of joking about in, not today's game, but yesterday's game. It's like, oh man, he's going to get a save op. And sure enough, he did. And he, converted it, no problem. I mean, I don't think the dude barely even broke a sweat. So he's been good. In fact, Rondon, Wood, Strope, and Grimm have a 100% left on base percentage.
Wow.
In that stretch. Travis Wood, I mean, he's we've send some hate his way a little bit, or, you know, at least some mild disdain. This season.
Well, and I don't think it's hate. No, or hate. Even disdain.
Well, I guess it's different than just like straight up hate, than kind of like hating on him, you know, like as the, you know, they say out on the streets, like you're kind of hating on his performance or whatever. You're not hating him, but we're just kind of like hating on how he's done for the team. And there's a website for this, everybody who's listening, it's called urbandictionary.com. If you're not familiar with these words, you just check that out. But Wood has been solid. I mean, the past, let's say 7.2 innings. He has a 1.17 ERA. I think he's been sharp, in a couple outings of more than one inning.
You know what kind of stands out to me with him? Are we kind of done talking about?
Well, I just wanted to mention just a little caveat to that is he has a .059 BABIP in that stretch.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty freakish.
That is a freakish BABIP.
Which is kind of like some of my quote unquote hate towards him has been that like some of the peripheral numbers don't really match up with, you know, like it seems like he's gotten extremely lucky at times. And I'll say, like, I think that Travis Wood does best when he is not playing the loogie role. He does not seem to do well with just coming in, facing one guy and getting that guy out. And I don't know what it is, but doesn't it, you know, when he had to come in from when Hamill left the game and he came in and pitched, what was it? Four innings, I think.
Yeah.
Three or four innings.
Perfect
baseball, no hits, no walks. You know, he seems to do that in that like kind of like 2 to 3, 4 innings, that long relief. He seems to do much better at that than he does just coming in and facing one lefty and trying to get that guy out.
I agree.
Yeah. He's doing really well in the like one thing they don't need, which is long relief so far.
Right.
Pitchers, you know, starters have been going like 7, 8, 9 complete games, and you know, very few opportunities for long relief. And previously that's kind of gone to Warren, and then he came in and pitched so well. But yeah, so it's kind of funny that.
Well, but
it's like he still has that starter mentality, but he's definitely in the bullpen.
Well, and I think that because the Cubs don't really have a strong, you know, their other option, left-handed option, is the bullpen is Richard, and he's not necessarily anybody that's doing well as a loogie either. So it's kind of like he's being forced into a role that, which is kind of the story of his career with the Cubs, like being forced into roles that he probably doesn't want to fill.
He's been fairly outspoken in wanting to be a part of the rotation.
Right. And I mean, he was. And, you know, 3 years ago or whatever, even maybe 2 years ago, I don't remember exactly when he kind of stopped doing that. But it's, I don't know. I just feel like the loogie situation is not, he's not well served for that, or, you know, whatever I'm trying to say. He doesn't perform well in that situation, but he really does. It seems like he does once he can kind of like settle in and pitch a good amount of time, which kind of helps those numbers. You know, when all of a sudden, instead of facing one guy a game, and one home run can really skew your numbers. And so him having a larger sample size there, I mean, it's not huge, but at 7 1/3 or whatever, it kind of gives him a little more, I guess a little more context.
I'd have a hard time thinking of a Cubs loogie that I've really felt a lot of confidence in, and I don't know how long.
Oh, James Russell.
Right. I mean, I go back to thinking about, like, I don't know, Neil Kotz, you know, there's been some really like, really shaky ones.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, overall, a lot of good things to say about the pitching. Going to talk in a little bit about John Lackey a little bit more. But, just had a couple of those complete games in there. It's been impressive. We've had a couple of shorter outings, you know, and the bullpen has done well for us, for the Cubs. Warren has been kind of rough lately. I just thought I'd mention him. Is in his last 15 innings pitched, he's given up 6 earned runs, and he's given up 9 walks to 11 strikeouts.
Yeah.
So he was a guy early on in the season. We were talking about having a lot of confidence in him. I don't feel as much confidence in him when he comes in, because he's really been just walking people. His last 6 starts, He has 5 walks to 3 strikeouts. So he's walking more guys lately than he has been striking out, and he's been giving up some runs.
Let's take a second to talk about SeatGeek. So this is a sports and concert ticket service you've heard me talk about here on the podcast. And I thought, why listen to me talk about how great of a service it is? Kurt, you've used it too. So why don't you share your SeatGeek experience?
Sure. Yeah, the family and I are headed out to Colorado in late June. And so we thought we'd hit up a Rockies game. And so I just went on the app and picked the game I wanted. Of course, it's Diamondback Rockies, so it's not like, you know, Cubs cards or anything. But I went on there. Like we've talked about before, you can see which seats are the best deals. I did that. I found 3 seats for $10 a piece, which are cheaper than you could buy anything that, you know, from the Rockies, because when you see that price, that's the price you pay. And then when you check out, like with the Rockies, you'll get some fees added on. So I got 3 tickets for the family, $30. And then I put in the promo code at the end, Ivy, IVY, all caps. And then I've already got my notification that the $20 back, which is what you get. If you use that promo code, you'll get $20 back. And so I've already got that. And so total cost, at least for this first purchase, is going to be $10 to see the Rockies Diamondbacks. And it's so easy. It's kind of like hard to say a whole lot, because you go in, you pick your game, you pick your seats, boom, purchase, and that was literally it. And the seats were right there in the app for me.
Yeah, super handy. And also, like, when you download the app, you can enter the promo code right then, so you don't have to worry about doing it later or maybe forgetting. So yeah, I mean, what they do is they pull in tickets from other sites all into one place. Like Kurt said, they're honest and upfront about the price. The price you see while you're shopping is what you're going to be charged. So SeatGeek is offering our listeners a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Here's how you get it. Like Kurt said, you download the free SeatGeek app. You tap on settings, then tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code Ivy, IVY, all caps, and then find the tickets you want, either at Wrigley, Coors Field, games on the road, wherever you want, concerts that you'd like to attend. And after you make your first purchase, then they will send you $20. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Ivy today. So we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. And I think that just in general, I think the Cubs 2016 season will be known as the season of run differential. So Kurt, how was the run differential in the last 2 weeks?
Well, they have held it to be about the same as they have before over that 12-game stretch. If we're going back to the Cardinals series, they are plus 32. So they've scored 63 runs in that stretch and allowed just 31. The average margin of victory in their 10 wins is 3.8. So they're kind of doing what they have been doing, where like they win big. There's only been 2 one-run wins, I think, or 2 one-run games in that stretch. So the close games are few and far between. They pop up now and then, but for the most part, it's been the same old Cubs where they put up big numbers and don't allow a lot. So other than a few games here and there, and I think it's easy to sort of like a game. I think when they get shut out, like beat 5-0 by the Dodgers or something, and like something like that happens and you think, oh no, trouble. And then the next game, you know, then they rattle off the next 4 wins. So
right.
This stretch has been good. Like, you know, keep in mind it's a long season, and when you look at the bigger picture, they keep doing what they have been doing and scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah. So Kurt, you said that they're over the last 2 weeks, their run differential is 32.
Yeah. Plus 32.
So compared to all of the other teams in baseball, for their entire season, if you took that 32, that the Cubs would be, that would be 9th best in baseball, compared to everyone else. That's
going back to May 23rd.
So. Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, 63 runs scored. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
the consistency with which they put up big numbers.
Yeah. So, in the last 2 weeks, I kind of wanted to talk about how this team really seems to pick each other up. And you can look at individual players. The one thing I think that has made this team so steady is that for the most part, the entire team isn't hot or cold at the same time. It's such a deep team with talent at so many positions that they really just seem to be able to step up at different times. Andy, I know you're going to talk about Rizzo later, but Rizzo had a rough stretch, and Zobrist steps up with a vengeance. And if a starter struggles or has to leave the game like Hamill did, then the bullpen steps in to throw seven perfect innings. And, I think they just really do a good job of like picking each other up, but then throw in the fact that the Cubs have some great players to come off the bench like Baez and Soler. And I mean, just the depth and the ability of this team to step up when it's needed is really incredible. And look at Addison Russell just seems to have a knack to be able to do that. I mean, he did it on, what was it, Friday's game again. And I honestly think that a team like that is more fun to watch than everyone just going out and playing like crazy. I mean, obviously it's fun to watch the Cubs score like 16 runs like they did in the Arrieta no-hitter against the Reds. I mean, that's fun just because it's funny and you get other teams' broadcasters saying things like enough already. So, I mean, it's fun, but watching a team have some players struggling and still score 8, 10, 12 runs, it's really fun to watch. And because it seems like every day somebody's kind of like the hero or somebody has like the incredible performance. I just really enjoy that aspect of this team.
Well, and it's even guys that aren't necessarily like setting the world on fire currently, like Addison Russell, you mentioned, hasn't been that great lately, but still he had that big home run a couple games back that was a bit made the difference, you know? So yeah, I mean, it can be anyone.
Yeah. Yep. So, so that was kind of, I don't know. I just kind of felt like, I know, like, obviously we've done episodes in the last 2 weeks, but I kind of felt like that was like a stretch that was kind of things were going fairly poorly, mm-hmm. not fairly poorly, but again, they were like a game under 500 for a stretch and then they kind of turned it around. So I kind of felt like that was kind of a clean break.
I mean, you could go to the starters too, where like the last two for Arrieta have been his roughest and they haven't been horrible. And right. Then look at Hendricks, your number five. The last two starts have been his best two starts. And things are, yeah, like the scales are balancing.
Right, yeah.
As a whole, like you're saying, one guy's
picking each other up
goes down, another guy jumps up.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's probably, you know, part of the credit for that is due to the team building that Maddon has done. I mean,
and the front office.
And in the front office. But I mean, just the team building in general. Like,
oh, right.
A manager, a coach really has to work hard to make it feel like the players are a part of a tight-knit community.
Sure.
And are there for each other. And, you know, that's huge. I mean, that's really big.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say that's huge. It sounded like certain presidential candidate there.
So it's June, and I kind of feel like after 2 months, 55 games, that's over a third of the season. I feel like it's a good time to start looking at standings and the lead that the Cubs have in the division. We haven't talked about any of that really on the podcast yet, I don't think. So the Cubs have a 39-16 record. That's good for a 7.09 winning percentage. The run differential, I believe, on the season is 141. It was 142 before today's game. By far the best in baseball. The run differential is twice the size of the Red Sox, who are number two in run differential, which is just crazy. I mean, bonkers. So they have a nice cushion for the lead in the division. They are 9.5 games up on the Pirates and 10.5 games up on the Cardinals, who are playing tonight. So it'll either be 10 games or 11 games. I think I have that right. I don't know. I don't have it pulled up in front of me. And according to 538, the Cubs have a greater than 99% chance to go to the playoffs. So, which is really, I mean, we're not it really, you know, since I'm not sure if like those kinds of stats were readily available in 2008, the last time, you know, when the Cubs were really good and everything, and we knew they were going to be good all season. But it's just kind of bizarre that here we are, like, you know, June 5th, and the Cubs are essentially 100% likely going to the playoffs.
Hearing that, like, that 700 and some change winning percentage is crazy. And I think back to, you know, 2012, 2013, seeing like sub 400 even, like right, winning right. percentage teams. I mean, this is such a treat. I hate the word treat, but it is. I mean, it's delightful to be able to see like basically the exact opposite of what those teams were.
Yeah, it is kind of nice to see fans freak out when the Cubs lose once a week.
Sure, in a way, yeah.
So we've talked about their Pythagorean record being even better than their regular, than their real record. So this is before today's game. So based on the run differential, the Cubs should have been 43-11, which is a 788 winning percentage. Good Lord.
Three-fourths of their games, they're going to win.
Oh, it's so crazy. Almost 8 out of 10. So I think that one thing that kind of stands out with this team is pitching. Andy, you kind of talked about pitching over the last few weeks already. But I was thinking what's impressive about the pitching staff is how the middle and the back end of the rotation have pitched. And so let's talk about those three guys, and we can start things off with Lackey.
Yeah, Lackey this season is 6-2. He has a 2.88 ERA. And in his last three games, he is 2-0. So he's been sharp. We've talked on recent podcasts about just kind of admiring his competitiveness. Sometimes it ventures into getting a little bit petty and worked up, a little bit too much on the mound. But overall, like, he's pretty delightful to watch. He just attacks opposing batters. And he's done great for the Cubs this season. And particularly recently, he's been pretty darn good. One interesting thing I want to bring up on the broadcast, I think it was Len and JD, were talking about how he's become even like a little bit more of a strikeout pitcher this season. And they were kind of wondering if perhaps, the Cardinals had some sort of organizational philosophy of pitch to contact more. And the Cubs are kind of freeing him up to be more strikeout oriented. And just a couple stats is that his strikeout rate when he was with the Cardinals in 2014 was 19.5%. And with the Cubs, it's 26.5%. And so he's been just getting more strikeouts in general. We kind of looked at some of his, his pitch selection, like what he's been going with. And he is throwing his fastball more. And Corey noted, he did a little research on this too, is that his fastball is the highest velocity it's been over his entire career.
Right.
And it's just minor little ticks, incremental changes, but it's just slightly, the best that it's been in his entire career.
Would you say that his pitches have a little bit more giddy up?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that. I mean, yeah, I'd say they have a little bit more giddy up and go. And he's really been saddling up lately. So he's throwing the fastball more. He's also, though, throwing his curveball and his changeup a little bit more, too, and been able to put some guys away with those pitches. Yeah, just an interesting little note. I mean, I don't know if there's anything necessarily to what the broadcasters were talking about, although the numbers would seem to back that up to a certain extent.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we can move on next to Hamill.
Yeah. So Hamill in his last outing was really good. And it was, I think everybody's a little bit worried coming off of that early exit due to the cramping. So the reports were he was fine, and it was nice to see that he was. He really showed up for a commemorative John Lester oversized trading card day at the ballpark, which is good to see. He pitched 7 innings, gave up just 1 hit, 2 runs, walked 2, struck out 6, and got the win. So he improved to 7-1. And really the first inning was the only time he had any trouble, because he walked Goldschmidt and then he gave up the home run to Lamb. And from that point on, he was basically perfect except for one more walk in the third, and then got to the seventh. So he was, was one of his best outings of the year coming off of that early exit. So it was really great to see that that didn't affect him long term, and he's kind of back to where he was before that.
Yeah. Do you guys feel that, like, Hamill, with the hamstring issue. Do you feel like we're set to see first half Hamill and second half Hamill? I mean, 7-1 record. If you would have told me in April that dude would be sitting at 7-1, I'd feel really good about it.
I'm just so used to looking at the Cubs starting rotation and always seeing several guys with a sub 500 record. I mean, and right. So
good ERAs, but you know, like right. over the course of our podcast, we've had guys with like ERAs in the threes and then a record of like 8-14, you know, like Jeff Samardzija right. or somebody like that.
But just to look and see 9-1, 6-3, 6-2, 7-1, and then 4-4 for Hendricks is the worst.
Right.
It's ridiculous. But I don't think so, to answer your question about Hamill. It just seems like he has come into the season with a mental toughness that maybe wasn't there last season, where he's really focusing on his preparation, taking care of his business, including, you know, physically and you know, working a little bit harder. So I don't get the sense, you know, that we're going to see like the marked disparity between, you know, that we saw between first and second half last season. However, I will say, sure, he's bound to fall in a rough stretch at some point. I just don't think it's going to...
Especially if that hamstring is bothering him, if that's something that kind of continues.
Right. So I don't see it being a precipitous, you know, fall into, you know, just a horrible stretch of games.
Well, he's done that the last 2 years. I don't know.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm just going to make a prediction. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that he'll struggle at times, sure. But we're not going to see the same thing that we saw the past couple of years.
Well, there is some potential, though, that he's so much better first half this year that even a slight fall off is going to be perceived as
sure second half Hamill.
So right. Let's just say he goes like, you know, 9-2 in the first half, and he goes 5-4, you know, whatever the numbers are. Any fall off from the first half, because it's been so good, it's going to be perceived that way. But I agree with Andy. I don't think we're going to see the sort of like fall off the cliff that we've seen in the past years.
Yeah, I hope not. I kind of
more consistent.
I mean, I think I just kind of like am expecting it because it's happened the last 2 years. But I think you're right. Like I think he has made an effort to try to physically be in better condition. He has a beard now. So that should help him.
If he weren't so tall, he looks like he could be an extra in The Hobbit right. with that beard.
Yeah.
If the beard were longer, he could just be a wizard or something.
He looks completely different with a beard. And I almost wonder if it's just not a different guy.
It's actually me.
Who are
it's
you?
A fake
it's Arrieta going out and throwing a second time.
Who are you?
Arrieta is actually 2/5 of the rotation.
They found the Rube Waddell cloning machine. Got that fired up.
He just has lifts in his cleats, so he's a little bit taller.
Well, Hamill's been helping his own cause, too, true. Like swinging the bat. I mean,
he did this weekend.
Right, his last start. I mean, he drove in two, I think, on got a hit that drove in two runs. Maybe it was just one.
I think it was one, but I'm not positive.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, Cubs pitcher swinging the bat pretty well, too. I was just looking at Arrieta's batting average today was 200.
Well, and he almost and then put one out.
Yeah, he doubled off the wall, right? So, yeah. Or actually, it was nearly caught by Michael Bourne, and he kind of flubbed that.
But just maybe 2 feet short of a home run.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we kind of talked about Hendricks. We've talked about him a little bit. And I think I talked about him last week. I don't remember, but I think I did. And I think one of the things that I talked about was his BABIP, and it's around 240. Average being around 300. I think there's a few reasons for this. He's doing some stuff that's really helping himself, like inducing ground balls. His ground ball rate is up 6.3% over last year. His line drive rate is down about 5%. His strikeout rate is a little lower. But I think what's helping him is a lower walk rate and the weaker contact. And also in looking at his numbers, there was another number that kind of jumped out at me, and that's his rate of first pitch strikes. Last year, 63% of his first pitches were strikes, and this year it's 70%, which is a pretty significant jump, I think. So it shows that maybe he's kind of attacking batters a little bit earlier in the count. But he's really become a fun pitcher to watch. I really enjoy watching him pitch. And yeah. I think that all of these Cubs pitchers are fun for different reasons. But, you know, the professors, he's having a good, great season. And when he was traded to the Cubs with Villanueva, Christian Villanueva, for Ryan Dempster, you know, at the time, I think it kind of looked like Villanueva might be the bigger impact on the organization. But Hendricks, mm-hmm. you know, he's not a free agent until after the 2020 season. And I think the Cubs not only have an incredible number five starter in him, probably the best number five starter in baseball, but they also have a guy that's cheap. He's under club control, and he seems to be kind of coming into his own. And so I really look forward to where the next few years
do you think take that him. Coming into his own means that somehow he's been able to be more effective when the opposing lineup has seen him, you know, is seeing him for the third time through the lineup? Because I was just thinking, we got so accustomed to seeing him be on a short leash last season, yeah. toward the end of, like, you know, five innings, we better get this guy out of there because sure. they're going to start crushing him. And then these last two games, you know, he has the 9-inning game and the 8-inning game. And maybe somehow he's found a way to be, you know, continue to be effective deeper into the game.
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, is that he's keeping his pitch count down.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's been surprisingly low
right.
the past couple of games.
Which, that pitching to weak contact, even though we thought maybe the Cubs, you know, maybe that's the game plan with Hendricks,
him in particular.
Right, is to kind of paint the corners, induce that weak contact. That keeps his pitch count low. It helps him go deeper into games. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't matter if, you know, if his control and his command are that good, then it doesn't really matter if somebody's seeing him for the third time necessarily, because they're still going to, you know, he's still inducing weak contact. But it's just, it's fun to watch a guy who's like fastball is at like 89, like have yeah. batters kind of like
baffled
on their
and
heels.
Balanced, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Oh, and let me bring back up Hamill too, because in his recent start, they were talking about how he's been throwing, like, kind of introducing the changeup the third time through the order when the other team's seeing him. So
kind of holding it in his back pocket then.
Yeah, he's been kind of holding on to it until then. And then that really is a way that he's been able to keep guys off balance. So I guess maybe, like, you know, we can say that the game plan with all the pitching has been on point. I mean, we already know that Bosio is a good, you know, a good pitching coach. But the catchers, too, are, you know, they're calling a good game. Like, everything seems to be working really well together, and they seem really well prepared.
Well, it would be kind of interesting to know if there isn't, like, an organizational, like, oh, this is what we do as a pitching staff, but almost looking at each individual pitcher and saying, this is what we're going to do with you to make you the most effective. Instead of having these, like, square pegs into round holes, kind of be able to play to a player's strength or whatever, you know, it is would result in him being the most effective pitcher he can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, the pitching, every one of these guys, I mean, actually the only one that, like, I mean, I think all of them are really interesting to watch. And I think the only one that I'm, like, kind of so-so on, like, I don't find quite as exciting is Hamill. But I really, for some reason, I've really enjoyed watching Lackey pitch and how he works batters. You know, obviously Lester and Arrieta and Hendricks. Like, I just, because he's the number five and because the expectations aren't quite as high, it's made, especially here, like you said, these last couple outings, it's just really fun to watch him pitch. And I mean, other people have kind of drawn the comparison. I'm not necessarily drawing the comparison, but it's almost like watching Greg Maddux, you know, like just. It, nothing to blow anybody away, but he just worked batters and he was smart about how he did it and really just relied on his
command. One step ahead of them and their thought process and their predictions.
Right. And was able to put the ball exactly where he wanted it. And it almost feels like Hendricks is becoming that type of pitcher, not a Greg Maddux type, but the type of pitcher that Greg Maddux was.
Yeah. Right.
But you can also see how, like, the ceiling just went way up though, because I think it's unfair, like you're saying, to compare him to Greg Maddux, but then you drop that comparison and it's not like, oh, whoa, hold on. It's a little off, but it's like, he's been so good lately that you could see him developing into maybe not a Hall of Famer, but a really, really good, like, 2-3 starter, where
right.
his ceiling is now that, whereas before it was probably like 4 or 5.
Yeah. And that's what I think I mean is, I think I mean more of the type of pitcher that Maddux was, not Greg Maddux himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I should try to be clear. I don't want people to think I'm saying he's the next Greg Maddux.
But guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, it doesn't seem that absurd, even though I'm not about to say Hendricks is going to be a Hall of Famer. It just doesn't seem that absurd because he's been able to control it that well. So,
and he has the nickname of the Professor.
Exactly.
I mean, how
he just has that demeanor.
Kurt, who's your favorite Cubs pitcher to watch work?
Well, boy, I guess if we have to, I'm going to exclude Arrieta just.
Right. I think that's kind of a given.
Too easy. Yeah. But of these three that we've talked about, I would probably go with Hendricks just because I like these sort of like soft toss control guys that you can kind of see a little bit how they approach.
That's the kind of pitcher Kurt was.
I kind of like watching that.
Right, Kurt? You were that type of pitcher. That's why you like it.
Yeah. I topped out at about 38 miles an hour, and I really worked the corners and relied on my braking stuff.
Just as long as you're not still soft tossing it in there.
At a point.
I'm younger than you too, so I don't have to worry about that yet.
Yes. Sorry, man.
Okay. Oh. So, we've talked about pitching. So we can't ignore the offense. And Andy, I guess it seems like Rizzo is out of his funk.
It seems like it, and you know, in a small sample.
I mean, he's
size,
right here. Can you smell his funk?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's been doing a lot of altruistic activities today, as well as playing in a baseball game, so he's bound to collect some BO.
No, but, I meant literally Rizzo.
Oh, the dog. I thought you were pretending like Anthony was joining us in studio today. I forgot your dog was named Rizzo as well. But yeah, so I mean, in the last 7 games, just to take a really small sample size, he has only 18 at bats. So let's just start off with that. But still, in those 18 at bats, he's gotten 7 hits, 4 RBIs, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, 2 home runs, which is good to see him kind of getting back his power stroke. And he's hitting .389, a slash line of .389, .522, .833. So, I mean, if you expand that sample size to 14 days, you know, it gets a little bit less impressive, but it's still great. I mean, it's still showing positive signs. And, you know, maybe it's happening right when some of the other guys are cooling off a little bit, as it seems like, you know, perhaps Zobrist is. So that's what we talked about earlier is, you know, it's
one guy starts slipping and another guy steps right up.
Yeah, so it'd be great to see if, you know, if that's happening. We should mention, too, like that hilarious thing that happened in the game against the Diamondbacks where Wellington Castillo accidentally hit Rizzo in the helmet on a throwback to the mound, and Rizzo totally straight-faced, or actually got kind of like a really grouchy look on his face and shoved Castillo. And then, like, instantly, you know, like, broke into his winning grin or whatever.
Right.
And had the ump cracking up, too. Like, the ump was, like, dying laughing as much as an ump can do, you know.
Well, he had his helmet off because I think he thought something was about to go down.
He did. Like, that's how well Rizzo played this, is that the ump thought, oh, man, here's about to be an altercation.
Right. And one dude holding a bat.
Yeah. And so... that was just a really funny moment. If anyone hasn't seen that video for some reason, look it up.
Yeah, that video is, I think, my favorite clip of, like, my favorite little occurrence from this season so far. I laughed so hard when I saw that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last season it was probably the ghosting of Castro.
Right.
And so, yeah, this season that's a contender for the best of the season.
Yeah, it's just funny to see those little goofy things happen like that.
Yeah.
So every episode I feel like I swoon over Javier Baez, but I guess you're saving me from it, Kurt. You're going to talk about him tonight.
Yeah, I'll take it off your hands for this episode. But yeah, Javi's been really, he continues to be good. We've like you said, talked about him quite a bit lately. But on this homestand, he's hitting over 300, and that kind of went down a bit today. He was 1-for-4, but he does have 2 home runs and 7 RBI. The home run today was particularly impressive when he hit it to right field and the ball was away, and he just went with it and still hit it out to right field. I think it was slightly wind aided, but I'm not going to take away an opposite field home run from him and try to talk about wind aided or not or anything. But he's been super good lately. It just, I don't know, I just love seeing him develop into a really complete player, and his offensive game is just, it's not just a little bit better than last year, it's so much better. And right. And lately he's kept that up.
Well, and I kind of feel like some people are going to judge him based on those power numbers, and because that's the type of player that they think that he is or should be, and they're not going to look at the fact, like, I think some people would look at his numbers right now and think, well, how can you say he's better? You know, like, look, he's a flop. He hasn't turned out to what he's supposed to be. But like, I mean, I talked last week about that strikeout rate and how surprising it is. And I think that's just a prime example of how much of a better hitter he is right now. And like we said last week, I think that the power numbers will return, but you're right. It's been really impressive to watch him and to see him play the role that he has, that he's playing right now. And, you know, to really kind of thrive in that type of situation. So one thing I wanted to talk about is that the Cubs are getting some power from unexpected sources. Zobrist has been incredible for the Cubs so far. I think the Cubs were happy to sign him because of his versatility in the field and his ability to make contact and his low strikeout rate. And those are things that were seen as weaknesses, the contact and strikeout rate with the 2015 Cubs. So I think they kind of brought him in to kind of shore things up there. And if you're watching the Cubs, you know how incredible Zobrist has been, especially in the month of May. He hit .426 in the month of May. He had an OBP of .483 and he slugged .653. I mean, just like a heck of a month. But he also hit 6 home runs in the month of May, and that gives him 7 on the season. And I don't think that the Cubs really expected power from Zobrist, or at least that type of power, you know, from a 35-year-old or whatever. He hit 13 last season, 12 in 2014, and then 10 in 2013. So you have to go back to 2011 and 2012 when he had 20 in each season for the numbers at the rate that he's producing right now. And I don't really think that Zobrist will continue hitting for power at the rate of 6 home runs a month. That's just not going to happen. He only hit 1 in April, but it's warm now. And maybe this lineup, I mean, Andy, we were talking about this earlier. Maybe this lineup gives him some protection and gives him some liberty, I guess, to go up and take a few big hacks at the plate, knowing that there's plenty of other guys that can pick him up. And so that, I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but it could be. And then another player that's displaying some unexpected power is Dexter Fowler. And it's not totally unexpected considering he hit 17 home runs for the Cubs last season, but like Zobrist, he has 7 on the season so far this year. And I think his power kind of flies under the radar considering how much he's gotten on base so far this year. Before last year, his previous career high in home runs was 13. And so, you know, with 7 already, just a third of the way through the season, it wouldn't be surprising if he hit more than his career high of 17 last year. So, yeah, I mean, we kind of expect Bryant, Rizzo, Soler, you know, we expect these guys, even Baez, to be providing power, but it's really cool to see it coming from guys like Zobrist and Fowler, players you don't expect to be hitting home runs at the rate that they are right now. And like I said with Zobrist, I'm not sure it's realistic to expect him to continue at that rate because, you know, so many of those came, well, 6 of 7 came in a stretch when he was just hitting out of his mind. But it is really neat to see. Whether that continues or not, that, I mean, I just think that it's a like I said, you expect power from certain players, and these two guys are ones that you don't really expect power from. It's really interesting to see Fowler hitting with so much power since he came to the Cubs. And I'm not sure what the reason for that is.
Yeah, but at least like with Zobrist, I like your theory that, you know, part of it is the lineup itself and the guys that he has hitting around him, and he's maybe more likely to see
right a fastball or something he can square up on.
Right.
Yeah. So we did get a lot of listener questions that came in through our Patreon supporters and our Patreon only Facebook group. But I think we're going to hold on to those until the midweek episode. So we'll do those on Wednesday, which there are some things in there I really want to talk about. So I'm kind of bummed we're going to hold off, but this has gone a little bit longer. It seems like that happens when we're in the same room.
Yeah. Kind of tends to.
Yeah. So, Kurt, do you have a scary stat for us?
I do. And it's pretty fitting given, your recent offensive production stats you just dropped about Ben Zobrist. So I've shied away from the negative scary stats lately, but I'm going to go ahead and drop one this week, and it's about Ben Zobrist. We all know how well he did in May. You just highlighted a lot of that, but just a quick recap, he hit 406 with six home runs in May, but June has not been so kind. He's yet to record a hit in June in 10 at-bats. Over the last seven games, he has 20 at bats and he's hitting 100 and has struck out eight times. That's 40%.
What a bomb.
Strikeout rate in the last seven games. The good news in all this scariness is that he's still getting on base. He has, I think, six walks. I lost my number here. Yeah, he's six walks in that seven game stretch. So his OBP is still 308. So even though he's batting 100, he's still doing what Ben does and gets on base. But overall, June has turned sharply downward from his May performance. But again, like you said, you don't expect it to be the same as May. I don't expect this to continue either. It's a pretty small sample size. But
it's been a rough
June so far.
That uptick in strikeouts would seem to be a guy who's kind of losing his identity a little bit. But then, like you said, it always kind of makes you feel better and feel like he's going to be okay when he's still managing to get on base
right.
and drawing some walks still. So, you know, hopefully.
Like I said, he always has good at bats even when he's struggling. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we have a couple events we want to talk about. First off, we have John Baker Day. It's July 29th. And for all the information, go to ivmb.com/John Baker. But basically, it's a joint event with us and the Sun Ranto podcast and to celebrate the John Baker game. John will be there himself, so that'll be kind of cool. And we're going to hang out. And if you can get your ticket at, again, ivmb.com/John Baker, you get a T-shirt that Kurt designed and some other stuff. Yeah, go there for all the information. Also, we will be going over to the game after that event. It starts at 11 o'clock, so we're going to go over to the game. And if you want to sit with us, just buy a bleacher ticket, and hopefully we'll be able to find a spot where we can all kind of hang out. And speaking of hanging out, if you heard about me and Andy just hanging out on the lake today and fishing, and if that sounds appealing to you, and we just sat out there and listened to the Cubs and talked Cubs baseball, and if that's something, you know, if you want to sit and fish with us and talk Cubs baseball, you can do that at the IVMB weekend at the lake, and go to ivmb.com/lake for all those details. It's a whole weekend thing that we're doing. A lot of listeners traveling in and coming. It's going to be a blast. A lot of fun. So again, ivmb.com/lake. Kurt, do you have an internet muscle flex?
I do have one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How about I'll do mine first? Because it's kind of just more of a, it's like an old standby, I think. And this came from a Cubs Facebook group that I belong to. And the discussion was on Jason Hayward. One person says Hayward. It's this long thread of anti-Hayward stuff, you know, not worth the money, bum, bust, all the B words you can think of. So this person, who is the logical one, in my opinion, says, Hayward is not a bust. I don't know if you had no idea who and what Hayward was and is, or if you're just a troll. And the person responds by saying, so far, he's been a bust offensively. I'm no troll. I've been a diehard Cubs fan longer than you've been alive. I just felt like that's like, you know, you're just old. I'm a better fan than you.
Right. That is classic. Right.
Especially when you like mix in, you know, that, yeah, I'm old, I'm better than you, I've been it longer than you, finally, I know more than you, I know a bust when I see one.
Finally figured out what the word troll means.
So what's yours, Kurt?
This one's a fresh one. It comes from Cubs.com, went back to the well there, about today's area to start. And this person says, well, now the rest of the league knows the secret to winning against Arrieta. Have a 900-plus BABIP and visually impaired umpires. Like, that's ever going to happen again this year.
That was a good
there
one.
There was no real response to it, but I liked that.
Did either of you guys write that one?
No. Because his stuff was just as good as ever today, but man, was it a weird game.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that here we are, you know, haven't even really talked about Arrieta after him, you know, really, you know, striking out. How many strikeouts did he end up with? 12?
12
or something?
Yeah.
12 strikeouts today.
Yeah, so, man, impressive. But
give up hits.
Yeah.
Hits in a row, which, you know, he gives up two in a row, and you're like, whoa, what's happening?
Right.
Something's wrong.
Right.
Well, last three games, he's given up 7 earned runs, which kind of unusual.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the BABIP today was just freakish.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways. Some guys like Wood, it's low, and lately Arrieta, it's been crazy high.
Yeah.
Everything's been finding a
baseball. Finding a hole. Baseball gonna baseball.
Yeah.
All right. So that does it for this episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We had one person join the Patreon campaign this week, Nick in Evans, Georgia. We also had another anonymous person pledge financial support for the show this week. And so I want to thank Nick and Anonymous. If you enjoy what we're doing here at IVMV, you can help us keep the show going and improving by pledging on our Patreon campaign. We use that money to upgrade services and equipment, and it helps us do our live events. If you want to get some perks like IVMV stickers, posters, and pint glasses, go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So now the Cubs head to Philadelphia for a series that starts on Monday, and we will be back on Wednesday night to talk about those games and answer the listeners' questions that we have. And until then, go Cubs. By the lakeside, when the evening comes, when the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.